This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. It is the vacation edition of the large morning show in the afternoon. Frank and the gang still away in Mexico. Frank Ladd and Johnny Lomax are here in the studio with me. Later on, Bill Cleveland will join me, and Kate Meehan will fill in for Mike Evans, and I have today's edition of Knuckleheads in the News, and another chance for you to play the Harris Challenge, all that coming up in an hour. The governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper, announced last night that that state is going to make more money off of marijuana than they dreamed of. They thought that they would make something like $70, $71 million this year in taxes from pot sales. The new number? $99 million. Apparently the stoners and the people who never classified themselves as stoners really like the fact that recreational marijuana is legal there. It goes legal in Washington State next year. And forecasters there are saying they expect it to bring in almost $200 million over the 4 years, starting in the summer of next year when it becomes legal. They're still working through the mechanism of how it'll be legal, how you buy it, what the taxes will be, etc. So Colorado has it now. Washington has legalized it and will have it next year. When will Missouri join the list of places where marijuana is legal? We're not even on the list of the 20 states that have legal medical marijuana. Well, my next guest is one of the people who's been lobbying for the Show Me State to allow marijuana to be legal. His name is John Payne. He's the executive director of Show Me Cannabis. John, welcome to the Big 550.
Hi, Paul. Great to be here.
Nice to have you on. The reason I asked you to come on the show today is not just because of the report out of Hickenlooper's office in Colorado, but also I understand that you have put your efforts to legalize marijuana on hold in Missouri. Is that true?
I wouldn't say we put it on hold, but we conducted some polling to assess the viability of putting it on the ballot and passing it this year in 2014, and it looks like we'll probably wait until 2016, but we're still going to be very active, educating people about the benefits of legalizing and regulating cannabis in a manner similar to alcohol, that would save law enforcement resources, that it would allow medical patients to get access to it, and working through the legislature to hopefully pass some reforms in the interim. But we're not going to move forward with a ballot initiative until 2016. However, we can start work on that. We can file the ballot language or the initiative petitions for 2016 literally the day after the 2014 election. We're not going to be taking any sort of real break here. But basically, the 2014 elections are going to be a fairly low turnout thing, where most of the people that vote, almost all the people that vote, are people that vote all the time. And those people tend to be older than the electorate at a presidential election.
Yeah.
So that's not generally the crowd that is most supportive for us.
Well, the ironic thing about that is, I bet that the people who are over 65 were the people who were smoking weed in the 60s and 70s, but now that they're on Medicare, they're getting other medication for free from the government, so maybe they're not doing bong hits every night. But I think you're right that the popularity of legalized weed is much greater with people under 35 or 40 years old.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's much more popular among people who are under 35. That's the group that it does best with. But you're also right, though, that the baby boomers, it's fairly popular with as well. There's pretty strong majority support among that group. And so those are people that are starting to get to that over 65 group. But it's mostly people that are, well over 65 that have very little experience, that sort of grew up in the reefer madness era, that still have that perception of cannabis, that are the most opposed to it.
Is a referendum the only way to get it legalized in Missouri?
No, the legislature could certainly do it themselves, and maybe they will, but I'm skeptical of that idea. The legislature is, and there's a lot more receptiveness to this idea this year than there was last year or any of the years before it. People are a lot more interested now that Colorado and Washington have taken that step. But legislators generally are not really apt to be leaders. There are some good exceptions, but they really, kind of put their finger to the wind and see where their constituents are before they step out on anything. So by the time they really feel comfortable to do it, I think it would be easier for us to just go ahead and put it on the ballot and let the people have their say.
I would bet, considering the current crew in Jefferson City, that they wouldn't even talk about decriminalizing pot.
I think there's more openness to that idea than you'd think. A lot of the conservatives are open to that idea because they think we're wasting a fair amount of money on it. They may not support the idea of it being totally legal, but they also don't see the point of arresting and jailing people for a few joints. And so there is a fair amount of receptiveness to the idea that we should at least amend our laws. So currently, if you are caught with any amount of marijuana, unless you're in Columbia or the city of St. Louis, which have local sort of decriminalization ordinances, it's punishable by up to a year in jail. Now, very, very few people actually get that for a possession charge, but that is the possible penalty. And quite a few people do spend a day, a week, a month in the city or county lockup, and that's pretty expensive to the system. We're doing about 20,000 arrests in this state for possession of cannabis right now, and that costs about $90 million.
So, 20,000 a year?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot of people who, for the rest of their lives, will have to check that box, have you ever been convicted of a crime?
Yes, and that's actually, I think that's a tremendous drag on our economy and just on our society in general, because most of those people are, perfectly fine people, and a lot of them, it's a youthful indiscretion, and now they're labeled as criminals for the rest of their lives, and basically they're, put at the bottom of the labor pool. And it's a lot harder to get a job, rent an apartment, get higher education if you have a criminal record. And so I think that's maybe where we're doing the most damage and where we could see the most positive economic impact. But it's a lot harder to measure because it's an intangible that's out there.
That's part of the story that doesn't get talked about in our failed war on drugs, and why I've been disappointed in not just this president, but the previous president and the president before that. Both Obama and Clinton on the Democratic side and Bush on the Republican side, these were guys who used illegal drugs when they were younger, didn't get caught, and were able to go on to the highest office in the land. But plenty of people who do get caught, and in Missouri, I'm guessing you have a few joints in your pocket, and you're going to end up doing some little bit of time, not a lot anymore, but you're going to still end up doing some little bit of time. And again, every time you apply for a job or a home loan or anything, there's that little box that you have to check because, yes, I have been convicted of a crime for that, the sort of thing that didn't stop these guys from becoming president.
Yeah, it's tremendously ironic that they would favor policies that are arresting people and giving them criminal records, because any one of them, maybe Bush, George W. Bush, he would have been spared a little bit because of his family's, he's from a powerful political family, but,
yep.
Bill Clinton grew up poor in Arkansas, and Obama was, a black guy who, typically, if you get arrested and you're one of those two types of people, if you're a poor kid from the South or a young black kid, that is not a good situation for you. It is not good if you get a criminal record in that situation, and it's going to be something that will haunt you for the rest of your life. And there is a tremendous disparate impact of these policies on poor people, people of color, et cetera, that they're arrested at a much higher rate. Even if you hold that constant, they're also convicted at a higher rate, serve disproportionately longer sentences, et cetera, et cetera.
You call it ironic. I call it hypocritical.
That's a fair term as well.
What about medical marijuana? Where are we on that in Missouri?
There is a bill introduced actually by a St. Louis metro area legislator, Rory Ellinger, that it would allow for medical marijuana, but it's a pretty restrictive bill. It's modeled after what they're doing in Illinois, and I think it's a step forward what Illinois is doing, and I would favor it, but there's a number of limitations to it. For instance, you may have heard that medical marijuana patients in Illinois will have to give up their gun rights, their Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that.
Well, that's not going to hold up in a court.
Well, it might, because it's still, since it's technically federally illegal, you can lose your gun rights for that. And so that's basically, they're complying, they think, with federal law. And so there needs to be federal changes there. To acknowledge, that marijuana does have medical benefit, because according to the federal government, it doesn't. And it's the most scientifically tone deaf thing ever. But also another factor is that in Illinois, the number of ailments for which you can get medical cannabis is pretty restrictive. you also have to be 18 years of age. And there was actually a story on Fox 2 last night about a mother who has a child with severe seizures. Well, actually two families, one in Illinois and one in Missouri, and their children have severe seizures that can be treated by a non-psychoactive form of cannabis that's high in what is called cannabidiol, CBD, not THC, which gets you high. And they can't get access to it, and even the couple in Illinois can't get access to it because the child is under 18, and so they're both all these families are considering moving to Colorado right now.
Wow. Yeah, you know, just to go back to the gun thing for just a second, I'm not a gun nut in any way, but telling people who are taking medical marijuana they can't have a gun, but if they go down to the store and buy a case of Bud or a bottle of Thunderbird, then they can have a gun. Again, we're back to hypocrisy, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, I'm a big believer in individual rights, and we have rights that are enshrined in the Constitution, and you shouldn't have, if something's legal under state law, you shouldn't have to give up some of your rights to access that. That's insane.
Now, you mentioned the federal part of this, and I have two questions about that. One is that, to my knowledge, the federal government has not gone into Colorado and busted any of these dispensaries. Well, they're called dispensaries in the medical marijuana states. In Colorado, they're just called weed stores because there are 23 of them around the state, and they're all legal under state law. But the DEA hasn't gone in and busted people there. But they have busted some dispensaries around the country. And I wonder where we're going to ever get to the having the federal government and the state governments on the same page.
I think we're getting there, and I almost hesitate to say that because every time I've thought this before, it's turned sour. But the Obama administration issued a memo called, it's now called the Cole Memo, that sort of set out 8 guidelines for states that change their marijuana laws are not in compliance, basically, with federal law, that are either medical marijuana or full legalization. And those 8 guidelines mostly are about making sure that the marijuana doesn't go out of state, that it doesn't get in the kids' hands, that it doesn't that people are not driving under the influence, which are all fine and totally reasonable standards. Those are things that we should all want out of any marijuana system.
Yep.
And so that's totally reasonable. And they're saying, look, as long as they comply with these 8 guidelines, then we'll pretty much let the states do what they want to do. And I think that's a good step. However, that's sort of just a policy. We need an actual change in federal law to recognize that the states should have the right to create their own laws around this. And I think constitutionally they should be allowed to. States are supposed to be laboratories of democracy, and this is the sort of thing that the states should be allowed to experiment on, see what works best, instead of having the federal government try to impose one failed model on everyone.
You know, there's another problem with this schism between the state and the federal governments. And that has to do with banks. The Denver Post reported on Wednesday that banks that have commercial loans on properties that are leasing space to marijuana businesses say they are not going to refinance those loans when they come due. The bankers say the property used as collateral for those loans theoretically is subject to federal drug seizure laws, which makes the loans a risk. So Colorado's two largest banks, Wells Fargo and First Bank, say they won't offer new loans to landowners with pre-existing leases that have pot businesses. And two other banks have told their commercial loan clients they either have to evict marijuana businesses or get refinancing elsewhere. This is another problem of the state versus federal pot laws, right?
Yeah, this is another one, though, that it looks like there is some progress being made and actually into changing the law. They had just created a way for banks to take money from marijuana businesses that are in compliance with state law and not be at risk for that. It hasn't, you know, been fully approved yet, to my knowledge. I'm a little behind on this particular aspect. There was a story in the New York Times that I meant to read the other day and just didn't get around to it. But I know that it's that they are in the process of, we think, approving that new law that would allow for marijuana businesses to bank with legitimate banks as opposed to just having big stacks of money. In no business is it a good idea to just have giant stacks of money lying around.
Right, and under current credit card law, which is federally regulated, they can't, Visa and MasterCard can't go to these places and say, okay, let your customers use our cards because of that federal law. So they end up with the stacks of cash, and now you're making yourself very much a target for anybody who wants to rob you.
Yeah, and that's that most of the marijuana stores do have take a lot of safeguards for with security, and you know, I don't know of any actual robberies that have happened since the legalization law has gone into effect, but it is a risk. We'd be much better off if the federal government would, you know, clear up these banking regulations and say, you know, as long as it's legal under state law and they're operating according to those regulations that are put in place by their state, then they should be allowed to bank and not have to worry about having their assets seized by the federal government.
All right, let's get back to Missouri. I want to recap here. You've taken it off the ballot this year. I know part of the reason must be that it's not really a big election year. We're not, you know, there's no presidential election. There's no gubernatorial election. We're not voting for senator or congressman. Is there even one statewide thing that we're voting for this year?
Auditor is the only one, and it's not expected to be a terribly competitive race. Let me clarify, though, that we didn't take it off the ballot. We never had it on the ballot to begin with.
I should have said that you pulled back your efforts because this is not going to be a big turnout year.
We always knew that it was going to be a long shot to get this done in 2014. Basically, we were looking for, if we had spectacular polling numbers, then we could have raised the money that was necessary to do it. But it's a very short time frame. We would have to gather all the signatures between now and the beginning of May, and that in order to do that, you'd have to pay about $1 million to a signature gathering firm to do that. And so we would be able to raise that sort of money, but only if we had the polling that shows that it's just a slam dunk, and it's not a slam dunk for 2014. So it's an election that could be won, but you'd have to spend a lot of money, and it would still be pretty risky. So it's a lot better to hold off to 2016, which is a lot more of a sure thing. You get a lot better turnout, the youth vote turnout, for instance, the 18 to 35 vote, is expected to be double what it would be in 2014 in 2016.
Well, plus you have two more years to change public opinion, and I think we're going to see it swaying in the direction of yes on legalizing marijuana. Certainly, I think you can get medical marijuana done and maybe even recreational marijuana in the next couple of years. John Payne is the executive director of Show Me Cannabis. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
And by the way, let's get a plug in for an event you're doing in Kirksville tonight. Where is it going to be?
It is at Jackson Stables. I don't know the exact address, but I know it's on Rainbow Trail Road. I'm actually on my way there right now. I'm in Kingdom City about to head up from Columbia to Kirksville. So, it's at 6:30. I will be speaking along with Sergeant Gary Wiegert of the St. Louis Police Department. He's not speaking on behalf of the department, but he's a spokesperson for us. And then also Dr. Fred Schaefer, who is a psychology professor there at Truman State, and then Representative Nate Walker, who's the state representative for that area, and Dan Beetz is the chairman of our board of directors. We're all going to be talking about our marijuana policies and what we can do to make them better.
Great. Well, I hope it goes well tonight. Thanks for joining me, John.
Thank you.
John Payne, executive director of Show Me Cannabis here on the Big 550 KTRS.